Blog Talk Radio.
What is up, everyone? Welcome to the Cave Show. This is PLR. Hopefully everyone's having a good Tuesday. Well, we thought Tuesdays are uneventful until you wake up in the morning and you hear Urban Meyer stepping down. So we're definitely going to get into that. Looks like USC is going to hire Kingsbury to be their new OC. Might talk about that and how that affects the Pac-12. Jokic in Denver is sick. His game is ridiculous. Is Denver better than we thought they were going to be? We're going to talk about that as well. Football week coming up. Big game this week. We're going to get some of those. All that's right here on the Cave Show. This is PLR. Thanks for joining us today. We are brought to you, of course, by the one, the only, Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located on Alma School and Chandler Heights. Again, let them know PLR sent you. They will take 10% off of any cigar purchase that you have. Ton of games, as they have the NFL ticket and every sports ticket there. They also now serve beer and wine, so make sure that you will be at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. One of the best cigar selections in the valley here in the Phoenix metro area. Again, let them know that PLR sent you. They will take 10% off any cigar purchase that you have. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, now serving beer and wine. And again, that location is Alma School and Chandler Heights in Chandler, Arizona. Big show planned today. Like I said, I told you a lot of the things we have going on. Some of the topics, if you have different ones, please do feel free to add to it. We do have a special guest calling in at about 10 minutes or so. Jack Magruder, Hall of Fame voter, covers the D-backs, Major League Baseball, the Suns, college sports, everything for the Field Exchange and Field Level Media. Got him in about 10 minutes. He'll be calling in via the Kerry Lackey Law Line. Calling number is 917-889-7828, 917-889-7828. If you have something you want to throw out there for us, please feel free to do so. I do have a caller on hold and waiting right now. Thank you for your patience. Welcome to the Cave Show. This is PLR. Who do I have the privilege of speaking with?
Good afternoon, Paul. It's Lou once again.
Lou, what's up, my friend? How are you today?
What a day it's been so far. Wow. Now, the start,
I know,
was
huh?
With, the Redskins blew an opportunity last night, and Philly just got the best of them.
They did. We counted Philly out 2 weeks ago, but
yeah.
I guess you can't count them out. Can't count the champs out.
Well, you never count the champs out. And, of course, you know, what hurts even more is, of course, now you're without another quarterback.
Oh, they had a quarterback.
Well, yeah. McCoy is out with a fractured right fibula. Ugh.
You're nicer to me. I said, oh, they had a quarterback.
Right.
Yeah, Lou, they're in trouble. Washington's in trouble. There's no getting around it. When you say don't count people out, it's going to be hard to count Washington in at this point, to be perfectly honest with you. Without a quarterback, you saw what happened last night. They have to go out and sign another backup to the backup to the backup that they had already.
Yes.
Whenever Mark Sanchez at this stage of his career – is your best bet. You really
Forget
don't
it.
Have a bet. Yeah, so they are 6-6. technically they're a game out of first, but it just does not look good for the Washington Redskins at this point. They have to now go and play the Giants, and they're coming off a win. The only thing that you can say that can kind of help Washington is their schedule isn't too killer. They have the Giants, and then they go to the Jaguars, who last week decided to play defense, but they still can't play offense. And then they go to the Titans, and who knows what situation they will have and what they'll be playing for. And then they wrap against the Eagles. So they still have a shot. It's not like their schedule is that tough.
No.
Where you can say, well, you just don't do it. But do they do it with the guy that they're going to be running out there to play quarterback for them? That's more the question than anything. Whereas you got Philadelphia, who basically, if they win out, they win the division. You know, they have the Cowboys next, if I'm not mistaken. But then they have to go to the Rams and then the Texans and then with the Redskins. So they by far have the toughest road to hoe out of the three teams. So it's just a matter of, you know, Philadelphia's getting right. And listen, if you're the champs, you're supposed to be able to take the big shot. So if winning out means they get in, then it looks like they're going to have to win out. For balance, technically, I would say the Cowboys have an easy road as well. They have the Eagles. Well, I shouldn't say easier. They have the Eagles, you know, at home, and then they play the Colts, the Buccaneers, and then the Giants again. So we'll see. But it's definitely looking like Washington is out.
Yeah, it looks that way. Speaking of Al, do you think – is anybody buying into this that Urban Meyer is going to step down after the Rose Bowl? Because I'm hearing reports like,
done.
No, don't buy into it.
No, he's not. The gentleman, Mr. Day, who coached the team when he was suspended, he's going to take over. My question is, how many years is Urban going to be out before the battery gets recharged and his health hopefully gets better, and then he's back in the game? But he's definitely leaving Ohio State after this game. This is his swan song at Ohio State.
Yeah, because I was hearing other comments, you know, like saying, "Oh, what's he trying to cover up?"
On this one, the same thing Urban did down in Florida. His health wasn't the best. He took a year or two off, got healthier, and then walked into one of the, you know, not walked, but got one of the best jobs in football. So I don't think he's faking. I don't think there's a cover up. I just think that this is one of those times where, you know, Urban's going to step away, get right. And then the question is, if he does come back, if he does, you know, return from retirement, who does he go to that's going to be more prestigious than where he's at?
I mean, he's had the health problems, and, you know, I think it is right for him to step down. But, you know, he's getting a lot of criticism for it.
Yeah, I criticized them for what happened earlier in the year, and rightfully so, I think. But if we're just being honest with ourselves, Urban Meyer is the second best coach in football.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no doubt about that. He is the one guy that has teams that can compete consistently with what Saban is doing down in Alabama. I mean, let's not forget, Ohio State beat Alabama in a national title game. Ohio State every year pretty much is right there. I know one guy will be happy that he's walking away, and that's Jim Harbaugh. Maybe he can actually beat Ohio State. But Urban Meyer, you know, I think the pecking order literally is Sabo, then Meyer, then Sweeney, and then you can kind of fiddle with the rest of them in there. But those three are clearly the best quarterbacks, coaches in college football right now, with I think Meyer firmly at number two.
Yeah, I have to agree on that. And Seattle gets a new hockey team in 2021.
I know. What do you think of that, huh? You know what? I think that leads to
right.
more than just hockey. I think more than that, that leads to more than just hockey. I think that opens the door for the NBA to get back in that market sooner rather than later.
Well, the thing is that, you know, Seattle bolted, and so I don't know about that. But that also affects your Coyotes because they're going to move to the Central Division when this takes place.
It does it really matter where they move to?
No.
So maybe with Seattle getting a team, they'll stop threatening the move. So, you know what? If I was back in Chicago, or if I lived in Boston, or Buffalo, or New York, or Montreal, or Toronto, maybe
right.
I'd be more, you know, elated and not quite as apathetic. But when it comes to hockey here, it's kind of hard, just because the fans that are fans are true fans. But I don't see what the organization has done very well for the fans that they do have. So I'm kind of apathetic when it comes to
that. Yeah, I get it. They haven't, you know, done what they were what they wanted to do. They have been the joke of the NHL.
Yeah. Yep. So, but good for Seattle.
State of Winnipeg.
Like I said, good for. You know what though? The thing is, when you do a hockey team, when you do any sports team, management-wise, you have to either be bought in or you're not bought in. It's really just that simple.
Yeah.
And you can't be wishy-washy back and forth. And sometimes I think they were just too wishy-washy. And then they put a stadium in the middle of nowhere. So it's just not great for a lot of folks.
See, I thought it was where I live.
We'll see what happens. Say that again?
I thought the middle of nowhere is where I live.
No. Glendale is in the middle of nowhere with the sports hub. And I know Glendale always says, no, we're not in the middle of nowhere. You're just on the wrong side of the valley. But it is what it is. They're still looking for a new arena. So that obviously says
yeah.
something.
Well, when you have, you know, when you're kind of with, you know, like with the Dust Bowl, I mean, you know, it does make it kind of hard.
You know? So we'll see what happens. We'll see what
yeah.
happens with hockey.
I mean,
and
for a football game, a Dust Bowl.
Well, you know what though, but we're so pretty out here, so that's why we have, you know, the Cheez-It Bowl and the Fiesta Bowl. You know, we're about cheese and partying.
Yeah. Yeah, and then of course we have our bowl game in this area 2 days after Christmas.
Pinstripe, right?
That's right.
Yep, the Pinstripe Bowl.
Thing is, it'll be 20 degrees by the time we get to that point. And getting to the city from here is murder.
Yeah. Nope, I hear you.
Murder. But it's the only bowl game that's close to my area.
Hey, well, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, but what do
you gotta do? You got to do what you got to do. You go to the Pinstripe Bowl at Yankee Stadium. Actually,
well,
any reason to get to Yankee Stadium is a good thing.
Yeah, it was. I think we're on a Friday. I think we're on a Wednesday. That's kind of tough. And Christmas.
Yeah, I hear you. I got my guess. Yep. Let me jump. And it's always a pleasure for you to call in. And hopefully we speak tomorrow.
All right, buddy.
See
you.
Take care, my man. Always good to get a call in from Lou, fine friend of the program. Always has good insights. Love it when he gives a call to the show. Right now on the Cave Show with PLR calling in on the Kerry Lackey Law Line, the one only Hall of Fame voter, AZ Diamondbacks, MLB, Suns, College Sports, covers them all for the Sports Exchange and mid-level media. He's the man with the answers, the one, the only, Jack Magruder. Jack,
wow.
Thanks for joining me, my friend. How are you?
I can't live up to that. I figure if you do a lot of stuff, you know, they'll always keep you around, right, if you can do a lot of different things.
Well, you know what? I use that same theory with marriage. They'll keep us around as long as we can do a whole bunch of stuff.
I like that. That's a good plan. I just can't do anything. I can't do hardly any handiwork, but I can do the other stuff.
You and me both.
Glad to be here. Thanks, Paul, for having me.
Hey, Jack, anytime. I appreciate it. It's been far too long.
Yes, sir.
But you know what? I understand that when I'm trying to get royalty on air. So I understand it takes time. You can't just do that. But Jack, saw you the other night at the ASU game, and we've seen each other at just about everything in the Valley for a long time. But there seems to be a feeling about ASU basketball since Hurley has been here, and I promise I'm not throwing dirt on the last coach, but it just seems different. The direction seems different. Is that just me, or do you feel that same sense?
No, I think the same thing for sure. He's really, you know, you're as good as your player, then you're good as good as your style. And I think he's got some really good talent over there. We saw them. Lugans Dort is a terrific player. I don't know how quickly he'll go to the NBA, but he certainly will go to the NBA. Zylan Cheatham is a nice fit over there. He's just got a nice package of players going forward. They're physical, they're long, they're fast, they're quick. I can't imagine what they're going to be like when Remy Martin gets back and gets on the floor for a long time. But, yeah, you can only think the direction of the program is going up, and that's terrific for ASU. You know, it's hard to battle in the Pac-12, and it's hard to battle the team down south, but I think they've got a program that's pretty comparable at this stage right now.
I think the most impressed that I've been with them is last year. They had little size. They were a jump shooting team, mm-hmm. three-point shooting team, mm-hmm. and he coached to that. And now he has a little bit of size. He's got some bigger guys. They can battle. They can create problems. They still shoot the three, not as much, obviously. And now his style is more to that. And I think that's what's impressing me about Bobby Hurley is that he's not coaching a style. He's coaching his players. And I think that's what's attracting the recruits and what's making him successful.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And further, you know, I think the style they're playing now is more conducive to Pac-10 success, where the players are going to be more athletic and more physical, and NCAA tournament success, where you run into the same thing at that level too, more physical players, more athletic players. These guys right now, I think, are going to be more able to combat that style when another team throws it at them. It was fun to watch Shannon Evans and Trey Holder and Cody Justice knock those threes down. It was fun to watch. It lights up the crowd, and you're never out of the game, it seems like. But that, after a while, they kind of opponents, and they'll do this also in conference play, it seems like, opponents know your strengths, understand your weaknesses, and were forcing them off the three-point line last year, and they had a hard time adjusting. You know, we saw in conference play they didn't play quite as well. I like the style they're playing right now, and I think they're going to show throughout the year. It'll be, you know, their stretch coming up is going to be tough. Paul, you know that. They've got Nevada, they've got Vanderbilt, and they've got, is it Alabama or Georgia? And then they've got
Kansas. Georgia.
I mean, yeah, what kind of stretch is that? That's a tough stretch. He did that last year, though, when they won those games. But, yeah, I'm with you. I think he's got a really good thing going right over there.
On the Kerry Lackey Law Line, the one, the only, Jack Magruder. You know, Jack, that's the other thing. Uh-huh. I like the scheduling. I love the tough teams. And, again, I'm not throwing dirt on the last coach, but the out-of-conference schedule was Mississippi Southern State and Carolina Institutional. And then by the time you got to the tournament, if you didn't play well, you didn't make the Final Four or the NCAAs because you had no out-of-conference schedule that could show you could win. Well, they've already beaten Mississippi State. That's a good win, out-of-conference win, a strong win. No expectation that they're going to beat Nevada and Vandy and Kansas. But let's say ASU splits those two. Now you turn around and have a good conference season. You're in the tournament. And so I think those are the little things that will help ASU. So, yeah, I couldn't take going over there covering, like I said, Arkansas Central State University anymore. But it's good to schedule. But all in all, ASU, Jack, there's a lot going on positive with ASU. And I had the privilege this morning of bumping into good old Charlie, the ladies, the women's head coach. Mm-hmm. And her and I were talking a little bit. And I told her the programs at ASU right now under Ray Anderson all seem to be positive. The football team, it seems to be ticking up. The men's basketball team is doing very well under Hurley. The ladies' basketball team is always good under Charlie. The hockey team is good. The baseball team is turning it around. Men's tennis is back. Just Ray Anderson seems to have found the pulse and the vision to kind of get all this stuff working, or at least that's the way I'm feeling right now.
Yeah, I think so too. And I must admit, the hiring of Herm was a little bit of a shock to me. I wasn't sure how that was going to work out, because he'd been out of, you know, he'd never been a head college coach and he'd been out of coaching for so long. But it turns out to be a genius move. I mean, this guy really knows how to recruit, which is, I mean, that's the lifeblood of college athletics, obviously. He had some great freshman defensive players in this year. He's going to get more. And I think that program, again, like you're saying, Paul, I'm with you. I think that program's on the way up also. Now they're going to lose some good players, of course. But once you get that tradition going, just like in basketball, once you get that tradition going, good players want to come to school. Good players want to come to your school. And getting back to Bobby Hurley for just a second, all that traveling they do, good players like that. I mean, quality players want to take those tough teams on. They want to take those road trips. They like to play in hostile, competitive environments because it brings out the competition in them too. Every high-level athlete is a competitor first. And those kind of things are great for a program. And I'm sure Herm has got that thing building over there too. I don't know. I can't imagine him not talking, not meeting a recruit's parents and the parents coming away thinking, yeah, I like this guy. I think my son's going to like it over there. And so, I agree with you on their whole structure. It seems like they're really in a positive direction now that Ray's got things going.
You know, the one thing that I thought about with Herm was, it's not a coincidence that Herm comes here and all of a sudden three games end up on ESPN and three games end up on Fox Sports 1. And all of a sudden Ryan Clark's son is coming here, and all of a sudden Chad Ochocinco's son is coming in here. It's not just the name, I think, Jack. It's the recognition. And ESPN is going to love putting one of their own up to say, hey, look how successful our guys are. Again, I think that plays a large part in what's going on.
I agree, and maybe they won't even admit that, but what you see it happening, you know what's happening. You can tell what's going on, and that's part of the equation too. That's a great point, Paul.
Online with PLR here at the Cave Show, the one only Jack Magruder on the Kerry Lackey Law Line. Jack, I want to change up just a little bit. I want to talk, and it seems like the D-backs are in this mindset that they're going to get worse before they get better. I'm looking at some of the things that they've done. We know that Chris Owings is definitely not back. It looks like they're really, you know, got their mind set on trading Paul Goldschmidt, who for a long time has been the face of this organization.
Mm-hmm.
Jack, is it really the best thing to do to get worse before you get better in the situation?
Well, that's the great point they're grappling with. And I do think if you step back far enough, they're going to lose Patrick Corbin. They're going to lose A.J. Pollock. It's just out of their control. Once those two guys hit the free agent market, they're probably not going to be able to afford to bring them back. I know they won't be able to afford Corbin because he's the best left-hander on the market, one of the best starting pitchers on the market after his super year. And if they don't get A.J. back, all of a sudden you're already in a semi-rebuilding mode, right? They've got some players coming back, but that's two stars are going to lose. I think in the long term it's probably the best plan. I know the fans won't embrace it. They won't like it. I don't know that it'll make much difference in the box office, but Paulie is, what, 31, 32? And he's going to be looking to maximize his value also next year when he becomes a free agent next year, because, you know, he's been underpaid as well as he's been paid. He's been underpaid for the last 3 years after Kevin Tower signed him to that nice contract extension years ago. He's going to want to maximize his value. And again, it doesn't seem like Phoenix is a small market, but it is. They don't have the TV and the radio revenue that everybody gets. And they probably won't be able to afford him either after the 19th season. Couple all that with the fact that Mike Hazen and his front office, they saw what Boston did years ago when they started over. They saw what Theo did at the Cubs when they started over. And I think that mindset kind of pervades the numbers crowd, the analytical crowd that they're in with. So they saw what Houston did. So, I think all things add up to the fact that if they can even get close to a good return for Paul, they'll probably trade him. I think the key, if they could trade Zach Greinke, they might not have to do all that other stuff. They might not have to trade Paul. They might be able to go long-term with Paul. But that contract is so big that it's really hard to get somebody to take that. So, summary, my quick summary is I think they're probably going to do something, and it's probably the right thing to do.
Jack, when do we stop being, quote-unquote, small market? In all honesty, when you look at some of the other teams around, and you look at the team I pick on most is San Francisco. It's I always laugh that San Francisco goes out and spends money. They're not small market, but Oakland cries small market, and they're just 2 miles over the bay. So at what point, I guess, do we stop being as a city? Because I don't just see this with the Suns. I hear it with the Cardinals. With the Diamondbacks. I hear it with the Suns, the D-backs. They all cry that, but at what point is it no longer small market?
Well, I don't know. They got to get the revenue. The Giants is a good example. They sell out every game. They didn't sell out. They finally had their sellout streak in this year. But they're selling 40,000 plus tickets a game every year for 8, 9, 10 years. That's a lot of revenue right there. And that helped them get over the hump. There is a lot of TV money out there. The TV money is distributed equitably. But the radio money isn't, and a city like New York can support the Yankees or the Mets much better than a city like Miami can afford that can funnel money to the Marlins or Oakland to the A's. San Francisco's that team. San Francisco's the Bay Area team, and it's kind of too bad for Oakland. I know they've unveiled a new stadium possible down. I think it's down near San Jose, which would be helpful. But unlike every other major sport, the revenue isn't distributed equitably. And if it ever is, then maybe we can see teams here do better. But until that, I'm afraid they've always got to pay attention more to the bottom line, which makes their free agent acquisitions, their trades, more important. They can't afford to miss on some of these deals. And, the Greinke deal was, I think, a case in point of just a – overpay and a bad deal, and then you combine that with the Tomas contract, and they're just behind the eight ball as far as money is concerned. And they'll get past it, they'll get through it, but it's going to take a few more years.
Tomas is living great up there in Reno. He's the highest paid guy on the team. He's probably got a house where everyone can live in. So that
he's
living life,
right?
2 or 3 times a week, he has it easy. So I would love to be him. Jack, last question, and I'll get you out here on this. So like you said, the rebuild is obvious, it's coming. The Cardinals, who are doing terrible, you have the Suns that are doing terrible, and I promise you we wouldn't talk about them. And now you have the Diamondbacks on a rebuild. Are we back to where we were in the Valley years ago, where maybe now's a great time for college sports to be good in the city? Because all three of those major teams, they look like they're a long ways off.
I think at least the Cardinals have their quarterback of the future, I think. From what I've seen of Rosen, he looks pretty good. Now they still have to surround him with talent, with – they can't stop the run this year, which is a little bit surprising. It's hard for a new coach, I think. So I'm willing to give them a little bit of time. The Suns are the team that frustrate me a little bit, Paul, because they've been rebuilding, for 5 years now? And they don't seem to get any better? I mean, what's the deal with that?
Yeah, it's been 8 years. Jack, I've been out there. This is year eight. And they've had that 1 year where they almost made the playoffs and thought that they were a step away when they forgot to realize everyone just had a career year at the exact same time. And ever since then, it's been downhill. So I honestly, I don't understand it. I don't get it. I don't think Ryan, and you know, I like Ryan as a person, but I don't think he really got it. What you do to make the team successful, but I think that starts at the top, and it works its way down. I'll say
Jerry
this.
Jerry doesn't
still
own that team, does he?
No, that's the bad part.
Okay.
You've never seen a successful organization have a terrible owner, and I'll just leave it at that. So, I think that's the only way to do it.
Yeah, I think Ryan was a good guy. I like Ryan a lot, but as you look at their drafts, they've missed a lot. I mean, Bender just, you know, no offense, but Bender just is not an NBA player at this point. Maybe he'll improve. I don't know. This is his third year. Marquise Chris wasn't really an NBA player. And those are two of the first eight picks in that one draft. And I don't, you know, you have to make good on those picks. Your scouting department has to evaluate those guys and understand if they can play or not. You know, they passed DeMontis Sabonis with both those guys, and DeMontis Sabonis is a fine player who could have helped them. Quality player. But anyway, that's neither here nor there, I guess. I hope with Ayton they can turn it around and get a little better. I don't know.
I do too, but you know what, Jack? I will give them one pass. Philadelphia, who everyone raves about the process, forgets that they missed on a lot of picks too. They just happened when they hit big. So they hit big Embiid, and they hit big on Simmons. But it looked like Markel Fultz is kind of a miss. Okafor was kind of a miss.
That's a big miss. But we saw that. Did you see him in college? We could see that in college. He was not a good player in college. He was about himself. And I didn't think it was going to work out for him, and it hasn't so far.
So it's the problem with the Suns is they've really only big hit once on Devin Booker. And every other hit was a good hit. I mean, T.J. Warren,
TJ.
He's after, what, 12, 13?
Yeah.
He's a 12,
he's
13
fine.
Player. He's a good player. Yeah, it's just when Philly hit, they hit. You know, it's almost like they played the pick three lottery on the other guys, but when they hit the lotto jackpot, they hit the lotto jackpot. Whereas the Suns, they win the $600 at the casino, and then they always miss on the $600 million jackpot. So I think that's the switch between the two teams. So, Jack, I appreciate it. Let me ask you this. Should the Sun Devils start the Eno Heisman propaganda early next year?
Man, he's good. Why not? He's really good. He's gonna break Woody Green's record for rushing, right? I mean, he needs 44 yards or whatever he needs. He's really good. And he'll have more burden maybe next year with Manny being gone, but I think he's certainly going to be one of the preseason contenders for sure. So let's get him.
Jack,
let's get it whipped up. Let's go.
Yeah, you and I'll start it. They'll listen to you more than me, but I'll follow closely behind you.
I'm all for it. I'm all for it. I'm all in.
Hey, Jack, I appreciate you coming on. Don't take so long in between visits, please.
I will not. All you got to do is call, Paul. You know that. And it's a pleasure being on your show. And you're the guy that's everywhere. Don't give me this stuff. You're the guy that's everywhere, even at Starbucks.
But you know what's funny, Jack? I was there this morning with my wife. So, and
what?
Believe me, I looked around to see if you were there.
Man, I must have. I don't know. I didn't think I took a day off. Maybe I did. Sorry I missed you.
Hey, no doubt. No doubt. But I'll catch up with you this weekend at somewhere, some event. Something.
I certainly will. It's my pleasure, Paul. Thanks for having me on.
All right, buddy. Talk to you later.
Take care.
That was one only Jack McGruder. Like I said, you know, he covers the D-backs, Suns, college sports, all the sports exchange and Philly local media. Always great to catch up with him. So, yeah, the Suns, I promise, Jack, we wouldn't get much into them, but I'm going to talk about them just for a second before we jump here. Yeah, the Suns, they will be without Devin Booker for a while. He re-aggravated the hamstring problem he had earlier this year. So I don't know about you, but they weren't favorite to win too many games when he was healthy, and now he's going to be out. So they definitely aren't going to be favorite to win any more games than they are now. They have the worst record in the NBA at 4-19. They have one of the worst point differentials in the NBA at 10.7. They've lost 5 in a row. They've only won 2 out of their last 10 games. They do have a decent home stretch coming up, and that's usually where teams like to get better when they leave the road. They can come home, get some home cooking, start to get right. The problem with the Suns is when they come home, they usually don't get right, and they are coming home tonight to play. They have another game Friday at home. Tonight it's against the Kings, and you would say in the past, well, that's a gimme. The Kings are usually just as bad as the Suns, if not worse, but not this year. The Kings actually have a very, very good record. They're 11-11, and the Suns are nowhere near that right now. So it's going to be tough. They are playing Ele Okobo. I've kind of come off my deal to trade for John Wall, because if no one is there and no one is playing, what are you going to do with John Wall right now anyway? But that's just more stuff for us to get into later. Thank you for joining us today on The Cave Show. This is PLR. Jack Magruder, thank you for joining us on the Kelly Lackey Law Line. Callers that called in, I always appreciate when you do. We are back tomorrow. We do have on Thursday former Cardinals Carlos Brooks will be joining us to talk NFL, rest of the season, and all football with us. A couple more guests coming up. Make sure you are following us on our social media, on Instagram, Facebook fan page, and Twitter, at The Sports Cave, where Cave is always with the K. You can get us also online at thesportscave.com. Again, Cave is always with a K. And you can get me directly at PLR on Sports on the Twitter. Until tomorrow at 1 o'clock, this has been The Cave Show. This is PLR. Everyone, have a great Tuesday. We'll talk to you then.